Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast. Hey, everybody. This is our year-end transformation podcast update, gratitude, and significant change, I would say, podcast. Brandon and I are just going to talk back and forth here about what the year has been like. I've been on a big transformation this year. It did not go the way that I thought it was going to go in the beginning, but it turned out better than I could have possibly imagined. So I started last December. I've been dealing with severe back pain for about 30 years because of my accident when I got sucked through the dam. And it has been a challenge. It's progressively gotten worse over that period of time. I spend a lot of time on my feet, especially doing seminars that go for 3 or 4 days. And it required prescription meds in order to be able to do that. And even towards the end of last year, it wasn't working enough to where I would have to sit most of the event. I would have to sit down. Like, I could stand up for about an hour and then I'd be sitting down for like the next two sessions. So I was like, okay, this is no longer working. My weight's way out of control. The weight was a significant challenge in, well, I'll get to that in a minute as to how that played a challenge, because I found out some very interesting things along this journey. But I decided that I was not going to continue taking medication for the rest of my life, that I needed to find another way to deal with the pain. And I wanted to transform my body, because being overweight is no fun, and it exacerbates the pain too. It's like a catch-22, though, trying to get it off and deal with the pain at the same time. So I got rid of the meds last December and haven't taken any meds since. And basically started this thing off full blast January of last year, Brandon, and that's when we really kind of kicked it into high gear.
Yeah, and I think the important thing about that is the fact that you were really heavily dependent on those meds just to be able to function. And yeah, the fact that you haven't taken them in over, you know, a year, I think we just kind of glossed over that really quickly. That's a huge transformation in itself right there. Like, yeah, that totally sprungboard you into where you're at now based off of that. Once you cleared that out of your system, you were able to really like dial in on what it was going to take to get to where you needed to go.
Yeah. I mean, I started off eating right and exercising, and I was then dealing with the pain without any meds at all. Although at that time I was taking like ibuprofen the beginning of the year. And what happened was I had lost about 50 pounds by May, I think it was. But I ran into this problem where the pain in my back was the worst it had ever been. Like, it would take me an hour just to be able to stand up straight when I would get up in the morning. It was excruciating. And I had to stop exercising because I just couldn't deal with the pain. And it was really affecting my entire day. It was affecting my sleep. I wasn't sleeping well. So I was like perplexed, like, how am I going to deal with this for the rest of my life? What am I going to do? Now, in saying that, I've gone to doctors. I can't tell you how many doctors I've seen, and all different kinds of doctors and healers and, you know, people for my back over the last 30 years. The consensus was basically this: this is the best it's going to be. It's like, yes, you could probably get a little bit better if you lost weight. That's what they would tell me. But as far as the pain went, I was in the best it was going to be, and it would degenerate over a period of time. And every doctor said, don't do the surgery. I talked to other people that had the surgery done for their back, and they said everybody told me their back was literally worse after the surgery than they wished they had never done it, the surgery, because it made it worse. you know, fusing parts of your spine and putting rods and shit in there and stuff. Like, it's crazy. So I pretty much had decided many years ago that I was never going to do the surgery. But then in May, I was beginning to wonder, like, what am I going to do? Because this is debilitating. It's really terrible. So in the process of thinking about that, around June, I happened to be watching a Joe Rogan podcast. It was one afternoon after I got home from work, and I was watching a Joe Rogan podcast. I was eating dinner, and he had Jordan Peterson on the podcast, and they were talking about the stuff that Peterson's involved in and everything. And towards the end of the podcast, Joe says to Jordan, he says, "Can I just, like, can we talk about this for a minute? Because you look absolutely amazing." He's like, "You're radiant. You've lost a ton of weight." And then Jordan starts to tell this story, which I didn't know anything about when I started listening to it. So apparently Jordan's daughter, Michaela, has had the autoimmune disease, rheumatoid arthritis, basically since she was born. And it has caused her to live a life on all kinds of pain meds, anti-inflammatories, steroids, all the kinds of stuff that you have to take to deal with this, which I'm very familiar with. And they have tremendous side effects. And I guess when she was somewhere between 15 and 17, she actually had to have her hip replaced and her ankle replaced because it had just worn away. So the inflammation had just, you know, basically destroyed her hip and her ankle. And the prognosis wasn't good either. They also suffered from severe depression. It seemed to run on mainly Jordan's side of the family, but I understand that it ran a little bit on both sides. So apparently there was a cousin or a niece or somebody who died at 30 from a combination of all this. And the prognosis for Michaela was not good. So she started playing with her diet because she told her dad that she noticed that certain things that she would eat would cause this to flare up, and it would stay flared up for like a month. So whenever she would find something that would cause her to flare up, she would get rid of it. And basically she was down to just meat and green vegetables. And she had got her dad to do meat and green vegetables also. And they had a pretty remarkable effect going, really getting the diet down to that. No carbs, no sugar. It was going great. And then Michaela decided to drop the greens and just eat meat to really go full bore on what's commonly known out there as the carnivore diet. And Jordan is telling Joe this story about how she then was able to get off all her medication. Her pain was gone. The inflammation was gone. I mean, and she got off all of her meds. The depression even left. And Jordan said that his depression was gone. He didn't have rheumatoid arthritis, but a whole bunch of other physical ailments that he had here and there began to clear up. And I'm sitting there listening to this, and it really hit me. It hit me like a ton of bricks, actually. And here's the reason why. In May, I had a blood test done with my doctor, and he pointed out to me that my inflammation markers were through the roof. And I knew inflammation also exacerbates pain if it's not literally the direct cause of it. So I was like, huh, I wonder if I did this diet, if it would reduce the inflammation in my body enough to where the pain then became manageable again. So I did a little research on it, and there's a lot of controversy out there about this diet, it really comes from the whole idea of what Americans were taught was the food pyramid and healthy eating, which turned out to be a complete lie, and based on a lot of false stuff, to people going as far as vegan or vegetarian. And I even tried that for a year and a half one time. I was a vegetarian. It didn't do a damn thing for the pain. So I knew that wasn't the direction to go. And, you know, then you have the whole idea around, you know, it's actually in a way a little bit of a political topic because there are so many people that are vegetarians for their own ethical viewpoints, which I totally understand. I think that everybody should do what's best for them. But I thought, I'm going to give this a try. I want to see what happens. So I started this July 1st, and I went total meat, which meant it started off with just beef, but it's beef, chicken, fish, and some pork. Most of the people that are doing it stick with beef. A lot of them don't eat the chicken and the fish and the pork. I seem to be able to eat the fish, chicken, and the pork, and it doesn't seem to be an issue. But there's nothing else. There's no vegetables. There's no carbohydrates of any kind. A little bit of dairy, a little cheese here and there type of thing. Anyway, I'm on this thing for 3 days, and one morning, the third morning, I get out of bed, and I notice that I have absolutely no pain in my knees. And I was like, well, that's weird.
Like when was the last time you had never felt pain in your knees? Like, you probably can't even remember a time when it was like that.
Yeah, it's because of the way that I was walking and holding my back and all of that. Maybe 7-8 years I've had pain in my knees.
Continuous, never going away.
Yeah. So the pain was gone. Not a little bit, not reduced. It was gone in 3 days. And I was like, oh, this is really interesting. So I stuck with it. First week was a little rough because you're getting all the sugar out of your body. So it's kind of like detoxing from a drug in a way. Fighting those cravings. It was rough the first week. Yeah. A little nauseousness,
sure.
You know, diarrhea.
Foggy, vibrating.
Yeah, like it's
yeah, we've been there.
When your body's getting rid of that stuff, it's not fun. But after a week, it was gone. And then 2 weeks later, the pain in my back was down about 80%. And I couldn't believe it. I was like flabbergasted. And by July, I had gained 30 of the 50 pounds back that I had lost because I stopped exercising. I really wasn't eating all that much different, but enough to gain the weight back. I've always been a person that can gain easily and lose easily. So it's an interesting thing. But 2 weeks later, the pain's down 80%. And I'm like, get the hell out of here. It hasn't been that, I haven't been that pain free. I can't tell you the last time I was that pain free. Well, not free, but that much reduced. So I was like, okay, I'm going to stay on this. And you know, unless there's some bizarre side effects or something, that I'm not aware of that show up, you know, I'll do this for life because to have that much pain. And I mean, I could literally probably about 3 weeks into it, I could bend over and touch my hands and my palms to the floor and not bend my knees. My flexibility was like back. It was absolutely incredible. So then the weight just started coming off and it was coming off rapidly. And here was the great thing. I wasn't hungry. I didn't have cravings. I wasn't even trying to lose weight at this point. The whole idea was how much of this pain can I get rid of in my back? And then once I get to a place where it seems like that's the stopping point, then look at what I'm going to add, what I'm going to take away, how am I going to exercise, all of that. So at this date right now, I have lost 90 pounds. And it has been the easiest that I've ever lost weight in my life. I'm full of energy. I sleep great. All of the physical symptoms that I had are basically gone. I average maybe 10% pain, and it's actually not pain. It's just a little stiffness now and then in my back. We just did a 3-day seminar in which I didn't sit down one time for 3 days. I can't tell you the last time that I did that. That's probably 10 years ago since I was able to do that. So for 3 days, I stood up for the entire 3 days and did basically a 12-hour event every day.
Yeah, that was amazing.
And I didn't know that I was going to be able to do that either. I was like, I'm just going to see what happens. And after the first day, my back was fine. I'm like, okay, is it going to be fine in the morning? I got up at 5 a.m. in the morning to get ready for the second day, and my back didn't hurt at all. I was like, shit, this is like, I can't believe this. This is absolutely amazing. So one of the, when I had that in May, I was really not feeling good about the whole situation in May, because I made a commitment to myself that I was going to do this year. I could see myself starting to backslide because of the pain, and I knew that this was something that I had to get under control before anything was going to happen. But I had absolutely no idea that this is what was going to show up that allowed me to do it. I'm not on any medications. I've had my blood tested. My blood tests are normal. I'm not lacking nutrients in any way. I do take supplemental vitamins and that, but I always have. So that's not something that I've added or increased in any way since I started this. So I take a multivitamin. I take calcium. I take fish oil. I take some vitamin D. The only thing that I take, the only medicine that I currently take is thyroid medicine, because my thyroid is slightly off. It's not really bad or anything, but it is slightly off. And I'm interested to see if that gets better over time also. So that'll be really interesting too, because I've heard people be on this diet getting off diabetes. They're not diabetic. They're getting off their insulin. I'm not diabetic, but things that real major health issues that people have because of the weight loss and the fact that they're able to exercise again is allowing them to make a tremendous recovery. So it's been incredible.
Yeah. What I really like about what you're saying, David, is that, well, first of all, acknowledging you for the work you put in and also for being your word, because about a year ago when you sat down, you made some pretty bold statements that you were going to make this transformation and you hit that wall. And then in May, you very easily could have said, you know what? I'm done. I can't do this. I'm not going to be my word. And you were your word. And that was the big thing when I went back and listened to them making, you know, a transformation three-part series that you did leading into the new year. You talked a lot about your commitment to yourself and being your word. So that, I think in itself, most of the people fail. So the fact that you struggled but then got back on, you actually lost more than 100 pounds when you add it all up.
Right.
Yeah, from cover to cover, I mean, you put it back on and lost some, but you're well over 100 pounds, which I think is amazing. I think the other big piece here for me listening to your story is talking about how you've changed it from a transformation to now a lifestyle. So even though this was titled Transformation 2019, 2019 is coming to a close. It doesn't mean the work ends. We're not trying to get to a destination. This is a journey and it's a lifelong journey. You now know that your body does well on carnivore. That's what you're going to do. There's people in our offices who their bodies do well on vegetarian, who do well on vegan, who do well on gluten-free. I just scrolling through looking at some of Jordan Peterson's critics, a lot of people talking about how it's unfounded, it's not scientific, it's just one person's opinion. That's fine. That works for that person, and I think that's the beauty of it. I don't eat all meat. I eat more meat than vegetables, but I incorporate a little bit of everything. I know it works for my body. You know it works for yours. But long story short, it's a lifestyle change. You do something long enough, it becomes a part of your existence. It's as easy as breathing. And I think that in itself is something to celebrate, because you now know what it is what it feels like to feel good again,
yeah,
which I think is amazing. And then now you can take that into the next year and the years ahead as we continue to move forward and build this out, because you can see what it is that you respond to.
Yeah.
And I think that's great.
Yeah. I mean, in November, a bunch of us went to Seattle for 3 days, and we did a tremendous amount of walking for 3 days, and I had no problem with it at all. I felt great, actually.
Yeah.
And in years past, when we go to Seattle, that I loved going, I loved the trip, but I always kind of did not love the idea that we were going to be walking so much, especially with all the hills and everything.
Right.
And this time it was easy, and I agree. It's a lifestyle. I've had people say to me, well, are you going to do this forever? And I thought to myself, that is such a no-brainer for me. Literally, I came up with this idea. If a doctor said to me, listen, you're going to be on this carnivore diet, right? If you're on the carnivore diet, you probably will take 10 years off of your life. But I don't have pain, and I have a great lifestyle, and I have a ton of energy, and I'm really enjoying myself versus, say, 20 years in pain, I would take the 10 years.
It's quality.
I would take the 10 years.
It's always quality over quantity, 100%. And, you know, there's so many fad things that come out, and I don't mean to downplay people that have had success on fad diet A, B, or C, but you find out what works for you. And then you ride it all the way to the end. That's what it is. It's not like, well, this year I'm going to do this. Okay, that year's over. Now I'm going to do this. You should be, if you're doing this transformation correctly, in my opinion, you should be building upon the previous year. Every single year, you're building to the next year. You don't dismiss what you just did. You continue that because now it's a 12-month commitment muscle.
Right.
Now you just keep adding to it and you just keep going. And I think that is what I think is so impactful of being a part of Transformation 2019 is seeing the effects that it's had on other people. And they recognize that, you know, you have done an amazing amount and you still have work to do and you're still continuing to do that. But seeing what people are doing out there, it's motivating to me because I see that there are people that they needed this. Like yeah. They needed somebody in their corner to be like, okay, yeah, he's being authentic. He's being, you know, transparent. He's basically saying, I have a weight problem. I have an issue with this and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get there. And it, you know, fairy tale endings only happen in like Disney movies, right? Like you could have very easily sat here and said, oh yeah, this year was a piece of cake. I'm down such and such. It was great. But you had the ebbs and the flows, the peaks and the valleys, and everybody out there listening has that same thing for themselves. The difference is when you hit those valleys, that's when you need to respond. That's when you need to really dig deep. And that's when you need to say, look, I'm not doing this for anybody else. I'm doing this for myself. Now, when you put out a statement that says, this is what I'm going to do this year and everybody knows about it, that's very out there. Some people need that. Other people like, you know what? I'm just going to go about my business. I have been, to be transparent with you, I've been on you to do one of these transformation check-ins for a long time. And yeah. You flat out told me, nope, I'm not ready. At the beginning of the year, you were doing it. I don't want to say you were doing it for everybody else. You were doing it for yourself, but you were doing it in a very outspoken way.
Right.
And you were bringing people around, whether that's through motivation or just to kind of help them the best they can.
Yeah.
But then you got to a point where you're like, you know what? I'm not going to, you know, be posting this situation anymore. I'm not going to be talking about that anymore. I will talk about it in my time because now it shifted from an external to an internal.
Yeah,
and well, I think that is fantastic.
Well, let me tell you what brought that about, though. So when I started doing this, I mentioned it to a couple of people right off, and I got tremendous pushback.
Oh, sure.
Tremendous pushback because of the diet and the controversy around it and, you know, everything that's being said and how Jordan Peterson and his daughter are just getting ripped to shreds.
Oh, my God. I just looked at some of the comments of the book that they put together, and it's like, it's confounded. It's not based in science. Who cares? It works for someone. Why do we have to be so pile on when someone is successful at something? It's
right.
Fascinating. Another story.
So I was like, okay, what I don't need is anybody getting in my head about this. I need to figure this out for myself. This is my problem. It's my body. It's my health. And even my doctor pushed back pretty sternly against it. And what's interesting is he'd rather have me on pain meds than adjusting my diet to get rid of the problem. I mean,
which
that's
makes you wonder how many people out there are over-medicated.
That's
and
right.
Like just a simple tweak in their diet could be off of those things
yeah.
entirely.
Yep. So I was like, I'm just going to not talk about this. I need to really see, is this working? Is it, you know, make sure that it's actually the diet that's doing this. So it's kind of like a double blind, right? I'm not changing anything else. I stopped exercising, and all I did was change my diet and stay consistent with that and say, let's see what happens. Let's see if this is permanent, right? Because I didn't want to do it for a month and say, hey, this is great, and I don't have any pain, and blah, blah, blah. And then a month later, it's not working anymore. And then I'm like, now I look like an idiot. That's, right. I mean, that's, I'm not helping anybody else doing that either. So I decided that I wasn't going to talk about it. And I just talked about it with my very close inner circle group of people, you and Steph and a few others. But that's it. I also had, as I was going through this, I had some people come up to me and be like, holy shit, what are you doing? And it was very fascinating because the people that came up to me and said that were having health issues. They weren't all overweight either. And I'm not going to mention their names. I don't have permission to do that. But I will tell you this, that I know several people that have tried this. One person went from vegetarian to this because of the health issues that she was having. So pretty severe health issues. And these people, their health is turning around. It's changing. So here's what I don't want to do. I'm not pushing this diet on anybody.
Not at all. You never have.
I don't. It's my religion, but it's not for everybody. I totally understand that. I completely respect whatever diet works for people. And I really think that people should find what diet, what way of eating for their life works best for them, and then not let anybody else get in their head about it. And as long as they're maintaining, you know, healthy numbers and all of that, then that's exactly what they should do for them.
Absolutely. Find out what works best for you and just, like I said earlier, just go with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there are going to be critics to everything you do, no matter whether you're vegetarian, whether you're, you know, carnivore, whatever it is, anywhere in between, there's going to be people who are going to get in your head.
Well, that's why I'm talking about it now. One, because it was towards the end of the year, and I said that I would give an update,
sure,
you know, by the end of the year and then talk about it next year. But the other thing is basically that I know that there will be pushback on this from this, but now I'm ready for it, right? Because I've been doing this now for almost 6 months. January 1st will be 6 months. And it is totally maintained. Now, I tested it a couple of times, once on accident, once on purpose. So we were having dinner in New York, and by accident, I had a piece of salmon that had parsley on it, and I didn't even see it. I wasn't paying attention. I was having conversations with people, and it was actually your wife, Steph, that said to me after I ate it, she said, do you know that that had parsley on it? And I said, no, I didn't even see any parsley. I wasn't even paying attention. She said, yeah, like the one side was kind of crusted with parsley. And I said, oh, that's interesting. I said, well, that's just a little bit. That shouldn't really do anything. The next day, wow, my back hurt. The next day it hurt, and it hurt significantly.
That little amount and that quick. Yeah, yeah, that's crazy.
So I've tested parsley twice now, and it definitely causes inflammation for me. So I have not really tested any other foods. I was thinking about it like over and over again. Am I going to start going through one food at a time and testing it and, you know, see, can I eat this? Can I not eat this? I don't think I am. And here's the reason why. I know how my mind works. And when I start changing things to go back to do something else, it becomes an excuse. And I start letting shit in my head that I don't want in there. There's no difficulty to this for me. Is it a little boring? Yeah, it's a little boring, but I found some ways to make it not boring. Believe it or not, there are some carnivore recipes out there that you can make, and you're not breaking the diet. Like there's an amazing carnivore chili that I created that has no carbs, no sugar in it, and it tastes like regular chili, right? But it has no veggies in it, no tomato sauce. Anyway, the idea is that without the sugar in my body, I'm not having cravings for sugar. So I don't want it. I don't even think about it. I don't think about eating all day or anything like that. This is very easy for me, which is another point that I wanted to make that I think is, there's two points I want to make that I think are very important as lessons that I learned for everybody else. I have always been of the mindset that a person is never going to change anything until they want to change it. So when I made that commitment last December, I took a couple of months before that, and I thought about, I've made this commitment before, why haven't I stuck to this? And the answer was because I didn't want to. When I really got crazy honest with myself, I didn't want to. Then I had to figure out why didn't I want to. And here's what I found out, because I really started doing some serious research on this. My pattern would be that I would say I'm going to do this. I would start exercising. I would start eating right, and then my back would start hurting more. Now, it is scientifically proven that when a person is in a lot of pain, it reduces their ability to resist things. It affects that part of their mind that gives you the ability to resist something. It lowers that substantially. I forget what it's called, but you can look it up. It's scientific.
It's just like sleep, the same situation. When you're sleep deprived, you're willing to...
It's a fatigue. It's a fatigue on the 100%. Mind. It's a fatigue on the brain. So it was making it difficult for me to resist ordering a pizza or having ice cream or eating something that I shouldn't and always, you know, making an excuse. And when I recognized that, like, so I always trace things back, like, what causes this, that caused this, that caused this? It all came back down to the pain. So I basically was like, that's the thing that I have to figure out first. I have to figure out the pain because I really want to do this. So I think it's extremely significant that in 30 years, I've been able to do this with this second piece. It's been easy. And that's one of the things that I teach about everything is that there's an ease and grace with everything. And when that's not there, something's off. Something's wrong. Now, I always go back and say this. That doesn't mean that you don't work hard or you don't work diligently towards something. But I see people, and I have myself, I'm just as guilty of it as the next person, that have struggled with their weight for a long period of time. And when they attempt to do something to change it, it's a struggle to do it. It's a struggle to eat right. It's a struggle to exercise. It's a struggle to stay disciplined. And for whatever reason, because of the pain, I never really sat down and gave it any thought as to why is it that this is one area of my life where I repeatedly make a commitment and I don't follow through on it. Because basically in every other area, I pretty much follow through.
Sure.
And Steph was the one that pointed out to me. She said, you know, this is like the one area of your life that you say you're going to do and then it doesn't end up happening. And I'm like, you're right. Like, you're right. Why is that? So I had to really do some internal work to figure out what the hell is causing me to break this. Because, you know, sometimes it's a physical problem. Sometimes it's a psychological issue. You're dealing with something from your past and you're carrying the weight for that reason. But with me, it wasn't. It was literally the pain. And I never correlated those two things in order to figure out how do I make this change. Now, people might be thinking, well, why didn't I? Because I let the doctors get in my head and tell me what to believe about the pain in my back. Because over 30 years, they told me this is the best it's ever going to be. It's going to continue to get worse. And I had so many doctors tell me that I was like, well, that's just the way that it is. And I would get argumentative about it because I always have people coming up to me and be like, I'm a great healer. I can fix your back. And have you tried this? And have you tried that? And I'm like, look, I've tried damn near everything that I can think of. If there's something that seems to make sense to me, I would be happy to try it. But with all the people that have looked at me over the years, it's the same message over and over again. Some things in life you just have to accept, right? You know, like you know, if you lose your leg, you're probably not going to grow another leg yet. We're not there with the technology, right? But maybe someday that'll be possible. And that's the way that I thought about it with my back. Like, there's severe damage done to my back. You can see it on an MRI. You can see it on an X-ray. Those things are not going to change. The only way to change them is to have surgery. However, I also started thinking that I had this belief. How many other people are walking around with the same damn belief? They've been told that their situation's permanent by a doctor. Because it's not necessarily killing them, they're accepting whatever it is the doctor's saying, and they're not realizing that there might be something else that's actually contributing to the problem. And in my case, it was inflammation.
Right.
That's what it was. And here's the thing. All those medicines, like when I was on steroids, I would have to take steroid packs frequently before an event to try to get the inflammation down, to try to get the pain down. I would have to take narcotics. All of these medicines that you take, they inflame the body. It makes it worse, right? So it's just a constant crazy cycle that you you end up going through.
No, totally. And I think the big thing here in all of this, because this has been, you know, talking primarily about weight, and there's people out there who are listening who are like, well, I got that part figured out. Yeah. But I think the nugget that you just dropped inside of that was you have to want it. Like, you have to really want it. You cannot make a true transformation if you aren't 100% all in. And if you don't want it, it's not going to happen. And I think that's why a lot of people, when they set their resolutions, they're basing it off of external forces. They're seeing commercials. They're seeing their friends talk. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. They're doing something for other people instead of doing it for themselves. I think the beauty in a transformation is doing it when no one else is watching and no one else knows about it. I did not put out a transformation for 2019. This was a year of maintenance for me. I kept it to myself. I was going to do my own thing. I made a few changes, a few shifts here and there, but I didn't broadcast it out there, right, which is fine. Some people do, some people don't. But I think if you truly want to make a change, it has to be, the key there is want to do it, because otherwise it's just going to fade away and you'll be like, ah, well, I didn't make that one. And here it is, January 4th. I missed this year. So there's always next year.
Right.
The key, yes, there may be another.
It's bullshit. Let's just call it what it is.
It really is. I mean, there's so many people, and I love it. And you start seeing this in all, like, the commercials leading into the holidays. You can already start seeing the Weight Watchers with the big pull. You can see the gym memberships with a big pull. Like, they're capitalizing on what is to come, because, you know, January 1, those memberships spike up. And then by the end of, you know, the month, people either don't go anymore, so they're just getting free money, or they've canceled it and they'll say, I'll do it again next year. The reality is that you can start today. Actually, we would recommend you start today as you're listening to this, to start truly considering making a change for the year ahead and build that momentum. You talked about this in that transformation series you did last year around this time. Build the momentum now, because I honestly believe that if you wait until January 1, you are definitely, you've missed an opportunity. I think the big thing that I recall sitting in these chairs this time last year was you basically saying, start now, build the momentum, so that when January 1 comes, you won't be crushed by expectation. Because right. I really think that January 1 carries a heavy weight. And then after the afterglow of January 1 fades and you're left with, well, I had this big audacious goal that I wanted to hit, I'm not really feeling it anymore. That's when it's, to me, it's easy to stick to your goal in the first 1 or 2 weeks. It's not so easy when you're 8-9 months in. That's when it starts to become a challenge, unless your mind is always in it because you want to do it.
Right.
I think that's the key.
Well, and you hit a very significant goal this year.
I did.
You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I can talk a little bit about that. You know, I mean, looking back over the course of the year, and that's why I like shows like this, because we really do get to look back, and because we do it on tape, we can go back and actually listen to what we talked about. For me, when I said it was a year of maintenance, it was really around continuing with my daily running, not stopping, no matter what, no matter where I am, no matter what the temperature is or what the weather's doing. I'm out there every morning getting it in, and I just recently, you know, like a couple weeks ago, just reached 1,000 consecutive days of no days off. So this started back, you know, back in, God, I want to say 2017. In February of 2017, I just decided I wasn't going to take days off anymore. And I know that it's interesting. You talked about doctors wanting to keep you on the medication.
Right. Yeah.
My running coaches at the time told me it's not a good idea. Your body's going to break down. And I went against the norm. I went against the conventional way of how to approach a healthy body and said, look, my mental fortitude is way more important than anything that's going on with my physical body. And I had read, and actually this stems from the fact that when I would take days off, my mind would judge every single thing I put in my body. My body image in the mirror was awful. I would put on in my brain 10 pounds overnight because I took a day off.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm not going to do this anymore. So now I'm just going to go and I'm going to run. Not every day is great, you know, but I'm still out there doing it.
It's a way to find the gratitude. You've told me you have less problems running every day than the physical issues you were having by running every other day or taking days off.
100%. Right? Absolutely. Because my mind just knows that this is what we're doing. there's no more excuses anymore. Like I said in earlier podcasts, I'm just going to keep doing it until, you know, I can't anymore. Physically, I can't do it. But there's people who have run every day for 30, 40 years. So, I mean, I'm proud of the coming up on 3 years straight that I've done. And that is a major accomplishment. But I'm not done, because now it's just like me getting up in the morning to take a shower or have a cup of coffee. It's that normal for me to get up and do it. And I do it when we're on site at events. I do it when I'm on vacation. I do it when I'm not really feeling like I want to do it. Right. I still go out there and do it. And I think the big thing for me in all of this is that, you know, I've listened to my body, and it knows what it needs, and it needs to get out and move, period. And I feel like that in itself has been a big transformation for me, even though I didn't do much anything different this year than I have in years past. I think the big thing for me is just reiterating the fact that I said I was going to do something and I'm going to do it, period. That's just keeping your word. You know, Don Miguel Ruiz's Four Agreements. I've got it on my desk. Whenever I'm feeling like I'm waffling on something, I go to that place of always be your word.
Always be your word.
And if you can do that, there is nothing you cannot accomplish. And people will sit there and say, well, it's easy for you. You've been doing it for so long. I didn't start out this way. I was a fat guy who drank a lot of soda and who put on the freshman 40 and never got rid of it. And then one day I just decided I'm going to try this running thing. And I became part of this like weird community of people that are just active and getting themselves out there.
Yeah.
Looking back on it and thinking to myself that I've been doing this for over 1,000 days straight is shocking, but at the same time, it went by in the blink of an eye. So now it's on to, well, what's the next thing? And I think that's the beauty of what's going up in the year ahead for, you know, Transformation 2020. It's not just a new year, it's a new decade. So I feel like the people out there right now, this is a, I'm not saying we're starting over, but there does seem to be a newness to it. Like, yeah. 2020 is a new thing.
It is. It's a very
new
thing.
And this is an opportunity for you to really sit down now and think about what you want to accomplish. And in an earlier episode, you talked about setting goals of something that you could do every day just to work that commitment muscle. You use the making your bed as an example.
Yeah.
If you're someone who struggles with commitment, do something maybe that you don't do every day, but do it every day for a month, 2 months, 3 months. And before you know it, it just becomes part of your everyday routine. I think that's what people out there need to be considering when they start thinking about 2020. Like we said, this has been more of a focus on our bodies, because our team is really big into health, because to go where we want to go, we're going to need the energy to get there. But this works for everything, whether it's a relationship, whether it's in your career, whether it's in your own business. If you can work a commitment, the commitment muscle, to the point where you're constantly just doing things that are reinforcing that and sifting out the noise from the people that say they're going to try and keep you down, there's nothing you can't do.
No. I've also, you know, another interesting thing that goes along with this was that it wasn't just a physical transformation in my life. I also wanted to really move the needle on the company this year. And you know, when you build a company and you're 18, 19 years into the company, you've got a stable company, we've got a great reputation, we could continue doing the same thing for another 20 years, you know, with our eyes closed, but there's no challenge in that. And I really started thinking over the last few years, where do I really want to take this? What direction do I want to go? And I began to really study and look at things. I ended up starting a second company this year, Nagel Media. And really, the podcast was an idea. It was just an idea a couple of years ago that I had. You and I started it, you know, in our conference room, basically. And it was once a week. Now it's 5 days a week. We have amazing guests on, and you and I both love doing this. We're going to continue to grow this. It's going to be massive. So this year has been, it's really been the first year in quite some time where that I've made that many changes in every area of my life. So I've got a lot of momentum. I feel really good about everything. We've learned a tremendous amount. We're continuing to learn a tremendous amount. We're having a good time with it. The the idea for this next year for me is to continue on with transformation. Like I want the 20s to be like a transformation decade, right? So I am going to keep pushing myself further and further, and I'm going to keep trying more and more different things, and I'm going to see what I can take my body to in the next level over the next 12 months. And I'll probably pop in on the transformation page every so often. We'll do some touch-ups on the podcast throughout the year. But I've got to sit down and figure out what my body is going to be able to handle, you know, like, because I haven't, like I said, I haven't been exercising. I've been walking, right? But I don't really consider that serious exercise, but it's still, it's movement. But I have to, I wanted to make sure that this was going to work and that this was going to be something that was sustainable for me, which it has 100%. So I used to be big into weightlifting. I was really fit at one point, and I used to lift 5-6 days a week. I'm going to start getting back into the lifting. I've been researching, you know, like really thinking about what's the best way to lift and what are the exercises that I should be doing based on the idea of the injuries that I have in my back, so I don't re-injure myself or injure, make the injury worse, right? So, but lifting in a safe manner, and increasing, you know, cardiovascular, you know, that aerobic type stuff. So yeah, so this year I'm going to see, I have a vision in my mind of what I want my body to look like naked, and I'm that's something I want to do. So I want to yeah, get back to that place again where I look really amazing.
I think that's great. And I think the big thing is, you know, we're, you know, about a week and a half, 2 weeks out from the new decade. So it's really getting to the place of right now, considering what it is that you want for yourself so that when January 1 gets here, you don't get steamrolled by everybody else's expectations.
Right.
Start it now, get that momentum built, and take it from there. I think the cool part about this, and I'm going to get a little nostalgic for a moment, just because, you know, we're sitting in this amazing studio. We're, you know, sitting here, we're being filmed. We have an amazing, you know, new video team who's doing an amazing job with all that they're doing and helping us build our platform. We've got a consistent group of people who have been with the company for years and years and years who are doing outstanding work, and we're always bettering our best, which is what our mantra here is at Team Nagel HQ. But to think that when we were recording this episode 1 year ago, this Making a Transformation series, we were sitting in a corner office with a round plastic table, a couple of folding chairs, a nice linen to dress it up a little bit, and basically one microphone. And that's what it was. And I had a chance to really listen to that series again this week, and it made me proud of how far we've come in just a short amount of time. But also it made me curious about what the next evolution is of this show. I know that you're going to continue to put out high level content and teaching, but there's other things you want to do, and those will be more evident in the year to come. But I did, you know, feel a little nostalgic thinking that where this started and how much of a stretch it was to put out one episode a week, even a year ago, to put out one episode a week. And I was always worried we were going to run out of content, which is crazy because you never run out of content. That's where no one can touch you in this area. But now to see us where we're at and to see you continue your evolution and grow and to inspire those around us here and in the pod sphere who are listening to this episode, it's really cool to see where this is going to go. So for 2020, if I were to look into a crystal ball, I would say that I would continue coming around to the Successful Mind podcast because it's only going to get bigger. It's only going to get better. I feel like more guests, more, you know, out of the box thinking as far as content is concerned, and really continuing to see all the amazing things that this life has. So it's been great. And I love looking back. I mean, I'm a look back kind of guy. I'm not as present as I was. So if I wanted to do a transformation 2020 for me, it would be stay present.
Yeah.
And not only that, but also be more visible. I think being visible is a big piece for me. I think this has helped me a lot. I'd like to do more of that. But as far as what I'm continuing to do like in the last year, the year before that, those just carry over. Resolutions aren't from 365. They're not from one year to the next. You use it and then you continue to build it out. You don't just eliminate it. That's what I feel
like. It has to be considered. It has to be a lifestyle, like you said at the beginning of the show today. I think people need to really look at their lifestyle. And to kind of start to wrap it in here, I think that something else that you said that is very important is that when you do this, when you do any kind of a transformation with your life, you really have to do it for yourself. I definitely know that setbacks that I've had in my life is when I let somebody else get in my head and I didn't follow my own inner guidance, but I was listening to somebody else over versus what it was that I wanted to do. So the fact about the doctors was a real big wake up, like, wow, I even let that get in my head, you know? So I got to really stand guard as to what I'm going to decide for myself and what I have known for a long time. And of course, you know, every time you keep moving forward, you find another level of this. It's weird that way. The idea of following your internal desire and which way that is actually taking you and the things that you want to do, you may be wrong. You may make a mistake. I've made many of them. But you're never going to know unless you make that mistake. And I think that that's something that is very viable for every person to know where to be able to follow that internal guidance, be willing to make a mistake. Don't take it personally. Don't beat yourself up about it, but then correct it once you've determined that it was a mistake or it was something that you wanted to do that didn't work, but with the idea that you're going to continue to move forward regardless of that and not actually let that stop you. So I think 2020 is going to be an unbelievably amazing year.
I agree with you. And I also, you know, just to get back to the mistake piece, I mean, we welcome mistakes. I mean, that's the way we grow. That's the way we learn. I mean, yeah, nothing is, when you try something new, if you, you know, don't hit your mark or you don't hit your expectation, you could look at that as a failure, you know, but I actually look at that as I tried something different. I didn't do the same thing because if I was doing the same thing that I was doing 10, 20 years ago, I'd be miserable in the classroom. I'd be struggling with depression. I would not be challenging myself on a daily basis because working here is always challenging because no 2 days are the same.
Right.
I would still be on that path and that would be the safe path. I'm not all about safety anymore. I'm all about living. I'm all about experiencing. And I'm hoping that the people out there who are listening to this are all about living too, because that's really what it's all about. I mean, at the end of the day, when you look back on your life, you don't want to have any regrets. And it doesn't matter what resolution you had or what goal you may have not hit. Were you the best you could possibly be? And once again, are you able to better your best? If you can look back and say that, it's been a good year. It's been a good decade, and I can't wait to see what comes up next. So any parting thoughts as we say goodbye here for this transformation year in review?
What I would say is to really take a look at your life. Ask yourself, what do you want to be different in your life? Make sure that you want it for you. Get yourself, do the work to get yourself to the place where you really want to do something. Because that's where the miracles happen in a person's life. That's where you can take your business over 7-8 figures. You can start a company. You can leave a job that you don't like. You could, you know, start an amazing relationship. You could get your health in, you know, where you want it to be. But it has to be something that you really want. And if you're thinking about whatever goals you're thinking about setting for 2020, really look at them and say, do I really want to do this? And I think a good check for that would be to say, do I also want the process of that result? Because you spend more time in the process than you do the result. So you have to ask yourself, do I really want to live my life that way? Because that's what you're going to do. You're going to live your life that way with whatever change that you make. And if you're a yes on that, double down on that yes, and realize that that's also closing the door to what you don't want. You can't bring both in the same room. You go for what you want, but you have to close the door on what you don't want. Don't look back. Don't look back at it. be committed to moving forward, be your word, and let's start making more transformations.
Right. And the process is everything. I mean, when you shift your thinking to embrace the process, there is nothing that's going to get in your way, because the process is the down and dirty work. That's the place where you really have to dig deep at times, but that's the process where the gifts lie. And that's something that I've embraced, you've embraced, and I hope people out there have. Before we go, I just want to give a shout out to our Transformers. That's our, that's a name that I came up with for our Transformation 2019 people. You know, we've got just under 400 people in that group right now. And there's people in that have been committed from day one. There's people in there who use it as a daily posting place. They post their wins. They post their losses. I would encourage all of you to jump in that group. It's called Transformation 2019 at the moment. We don't know. We're not going to start a brand new page. We may just continue to build this one out. But if you go on Facebook and find Transformation 2019, David, it was his inspiration to put this together. Here we are a year in, and it's great to see that those 400 committed individuals are being active in there. Even, you know, some people don't always post, but I know that they're looking, and I know that they're gaining inspiration from it. So I wanted to give a shout out to our Transformers. Thank you for an amazing year. And thank you, David, for your inspiration for this. And we cannot wait to see what the decade of dominance holds in store for you and for all of us here at Team Nagel.
Thank you, 2T. Great commitment.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great year, everyone.
Bye. Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.